Iran inaugurates Pasargada steel mill to produce highly quality steel products in accordance with the latest international standards. The Iranian president says no power is capable of blocking the Iranian nation's progress. UN Security Council eases sanctions against Iraq dating from Saddam Hussein's 1990s invasion of Kuwait. Bahraini regime forces fire tear gas to disperse protesters in the tiny Persian Gulf kingdom. And a recent survey finds that around half of the Turkish people are dissatisfied with the performance of their country's leaders. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome back. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, the Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has inaugurated Pasargada steel mill in the southern province of Fars. The plant, situated in Fars province, covers an area of 300 in the Middle East and North Africa, and the country's main steel mills are located in Isfahan and Khuzestan provinces. Now, addressing the opening ceremony of Pasargada steel mill, the Iranian president said the country's development is gaining momentum and no power is capable of blocking its progress. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad also noted that certain parties may be able to slow down the pace of Iranian progress temporarily, but they will never be able to block it entirely. He also hailed Iran's extensive achievements in various areas, saying news about Iran's breakthroughs are so numerous that certain people cannot believe it, and some others close their eyes and say nothing has been done. However, what has been done is quite clear and tangible. He further stressed that no power can hinder the progress of a powerful nation. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ahmadinejad welcomed the opening of the Pasargada steel mill in Fars as a sign of the country's dynamic industry and called on officials, banks, and other sectors to join hands and facilitate the country's progress. Now, the UN Security Council on Thursday eased sanctions against Iraq, dating from Saddam Hussein's 1990 invasion of Kuwait. The council lifted the threat of action linked to the search for Kuwaitis and property missing since the invasion ordered by the former dictator. Iraq's Foreign Minister Hushyar Zebari called the unanimous council vote a landmark in Iraq's efforts to restore its international image. The sanction threat remains for Iraq's payment of war compensation. The UN also still has an arms embargo against Iraq. Now, a senior Palestinian official on Thursday condemned the Zionist regime's plan to construct dozens of new illegal settler units in East Al-Quds, despite widespread international criticism of settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories. Hassan Ashrawi said the Zionist settlement in the occupied Palestine is part of the regime's colonization policy and has created a major obstacle to the Middle East peace process.
I think this is a deliberate front to carry. This is actually a response to John Kerry's attempts to launch some sort of negotiations, because Israel insists that it can dictate unilaterally its own policies, particularly on the ground in terms of expansion of settlements, in terms of annexation of Jerusalem, the transformation of Jerusalem, the building of settlement units as part of its colonization policy, and it takes priority over John Kerry's approach to try to launch negotiations.
Now, at least four people have been killed in a powerful explosion that rocked a Christian neighborhood in Syrian capital Damascus on Thursday. A terrorist bomber set off an explosion outside one of the main churches in the predominantly Christian neighborhood of Bab Tuma in central Damascus. Four people have so far been reportedly killed, but the number of fatalities is likely to rise. On June 23rd, at least five people, including civilians and police officers, lost their lives after foreign-backed militants attacked two security compounds in Damascus. Anti-Syria Takfiri extremists have been behind many of the deadly bombings targeting both civilians and government institutions across the country since the outbreak of the violence. Turmoil has gripped Syria for over 2 years, and many people, including large numbers of Syrian soldiers and security personnel, have been killed in the foreign-sponsored militancy. And before we continue, here's a recap of our top stories. Iran inaugurates Pasargada steel mill to produce high-quality steel products in accordance with the highest international standards. Iranian president says no power is capable of blocking the Iranian nation's progress. UN Security Council eases sanctions against Iraq, dating from Saddam Hussein's 1990 invasion of Kuwait. Bahraini regime forces fire tear gas to disperse protesters in the tiny Persian Gulf country. And a recent survey finds that around half of Turkish people are dissatisfied with the performance of their country's leaders. Bahraini regime forces have fired tear gas to disperse protesters in at least two villages across the tiny Persian Gulf kingdom. Security forces fired toxic tear gas at a group of anti-regime demonstrators and raided more than two dozen homes on Thursday in the village of Sitra, south of the capital Manama. At least 30 protesters were also arrested. Similar clashes also broke out between Bahraini protesters and regime forces in the northwestern village of Sar near Manama. The fresh wave of unrest erupted a day after a funeral procession was held for Hussein Abdullah Abdul Karim, an anti-regime activist who lost his life in an explosion near his house in Sar. His family said the Al-Khalifa regime had been behind his death. The Bahraini uprising began in mid-February 2011 when the people, inspired by the popular revolutions that toppled the dictators of Tunisia and Egypt, started holding massive demonstrations. Now, according to a recent survey by Gallup, around half of the Turkish people had grown dissatisfied with the performance of their country's leaders even before the outbreak of anti-Ankara protests in Turkey. According to the survey, some 50% of the respondents expressed discontent with the performance of Turkish leaders, while leadership approval among them stood at 48% last year, down from 57% in 2011. The poll results further indicate that the percentage of residents in the Turkish city of Istanbul who approve of the performance of their country's authorities plunged to 30% in 2012 from 59% the year before. The government of Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has been the epicenter of angry demonstrations, which initially erupted on May 31st when police broke up a sit-in held in Istanbul Taksim Square to protest against a proposal to demolish Gezi Park. Now, unknown militants have set fire on two NATO fuel tankers in Pakistan's southwestern province of Balochistan. The attack was carried out on Thursday when the gunmen opened fire on the fuel tankers in Mustang district of the province, which borders Afghanistan. Both drivers of the trucks were injured in the incident, and the assailants escaped the scene. Hundreds of NATO tankers and containers have been destroyed in different parts of Pakistan over the past few years. Pro-Taliban militants often claim responsibility for such attacks, saying that the assaults are in retaliation for the US killer drone strikes on Pakistan's tribal regions. Now, in Europe, Greek labor unions have launched fresh anti-austerity protests. This came while Greece's unemployment rate is projected to climb to 30.4% in 2014. My colleague has the scoop.
Hundreds of protesters, members of the Hellenic Confederation of Professionals, Craftsmen and Merchants, took to the streets of central Athens on right outside its headquarters to demonstrate against protracted austerity and against what has been described by many protesters as a direct strike against their pension scheme rights and the viability of the entire sector. Demonstrators underlined to Irin TV that their demands are right, yet they remain unmet. Their representatives explained that their main demands are, among others, smaller sentences for unpaid dues to the self-employed insurance fund and an unemployment stipend to the self-employed who lose their jobs. With the current scheme, self-employed professionals have to contribute up to 900 euros every 2 months for goods and services that have not necessarily been received. Their daily professional agony is then catalyzed by a cocktail comprised of a protracted economic crisis, soaring unemployment, and a lack of liquidity, especially in the SME sector. In the meanwhile, employees at ports across Greece were also set to walk off the job from noon to 7 p.m. on Wednesday. They are protesting government plans regarding port privatizations in view of general assemblies called by unions. Trolley buses in Athens also altered services from 11:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. due to a general assembly meeting called by the staff union, while last but not least, tax offices across Greece will remain closed for transactions on Thursday and Friday due to a 48-hour strike called by the union representing tax bureau staff. Tax offices across the country will remain closed today and will keep on striking on Friday as employees at tax collection offices, financial inspectors and Ministry of Finance officials join forces into a 48-hour strike called by their union. Demonstrators are protesting against the closure of a number of tax branches and additional salary cuts undertaken by the government as part of its austerity package agreed with a troika of international creditors. Following many similar demonstrations that oftentimes turned violent and were massively attended, demonstrators held the protest rally one more time in central Athens at 10:30 a.m., raising their voice against horizontal cuts imposed by the government that have hit especially hard the once privileged public sector employees. In the meanwhile, on Wednesday, German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble ruled out the possibility Greek debt owners might forcefully take additional losses on their holdings, while also disclosing his intention to come to Greece within the next month on the extension of an official invitation for July 18th. And while Prime Minister Antonis Samaras has been gaining some new traction by finally signing a deal for the TAP pipeline, thus placing Greece as a transit country for EU gas, the German minister will also have to go through a harsh economic reality check. With unemployment predictions for over 30%, there is only but small room to rest on one's laurels. With employees at tax collection offices throughout the country as well as the Ministry of Finance being on strike, the question that now arises is how the state will be able to collect tax dues and curb tax evasion. With 50, even 60% cuts in their salaries, demonstrators say they will keep on striking until the end of the week. Lukas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
Still in Europe, Portuguese trade unions staged a one-day general strike on Thursday against relentless austerity, which has deepened the worst economic slump since the 1970s. Portugal's fourth general strike in 2 years brings public transport to a virtual standstill, with a strong response from the public sector but a smaller support from the private sector. Unions hope the fourth general strike in 2 years will force the government to boost economic growth and ease the belt-tightening cuts, including the sharpest tax increases in living memory this year.
With this general strike, we demand a different policy in our national policies, not only at the national level, but also internationally, and an end to the belief that austerity is an inevitable path.
And finally, thousands of South Korean construction workers staged a rally in Seoul on Thursday, demanding job security and better working conditions. About 20,000 construction workers gathered in downtown Seoul, chanting anti-government slogans and waving red banners, with some reading, "We want to live like human beings." South Korea is no stranger to protests, with a strong union and student movements staging often violent rallies over the last few decades. In the past, demonstrators themselves have resorted to extreme tactics, even committing suicide during demonstrations. Well, thank you very much indeed for being with us. Goodbye.